Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to a new Phillies Today. Phillies 24-7 for Sports Radio 94 WIP. It is Francisco Rojas here, back with, what is it, like the second or third episode of 2025? I know you guys would do this out there, too. Like, you ever writing down a date, like, for the new year, and you're like, whatever, like, 1-5, but then you write last year's date. I was doing that the other day, and I just get reminded. That always takes like a week or two, right? It always takes a week or two with the new year. So, I don't know. This came to mind real quick. But either way, it is Phillies 24-7. And yeah, Francisco Rojas back with another episode. I had to do some sort of like New Year's thing here. I felt like there was like, okay, I could still do some sort of New Year content. So I figured today, let's look ahead, because of course we're going to get, as we get closer to the season, we'll do like, you know, season previews and stuff like that, make bold predictions, all that type of stuff. But I feel like heading into 2025, now that we're in 2025 at the beginning, we can look at storylines to look ahead to this entire season, this entire year, with the off season and then the entirety of the 2025 season. So I think we can do a little bit of looking ahead a little bit. Why not? You know, we do that a lot. You know, in sports, we look ahead to seasons and whatnot. That's what we do. Come on. I know we all do it as fans. We all do it. So we'll get to that in a couple of minutes and do a little bit of this day in Phillies history and around Major League Baseball to end the show. But we're actually going to start with a member of the Philadelphia Phillies. Their mother has put a bet down on the Phillies to win the World Series. And, you know, it's kind of not surprising. It's Nick Castellanos. Nick Castellanos' mother tweeted, this was in recent days. And she put down, actually, I have it right in front of me. It was January 2nd. It was January 2nd. And she put a bet on the Phillies to win the NL East, win the National League outright, and win the World Series. And she put 100 on the Phillies to win the World Series. They're at plus 1,100 right now. And she would win $1,100. And then she put a bet down on the Phillies to win the National League. And that was $50. And that was at plus 550. So she could win some good cash there too. She didn't reveal in the picture how much she put down on the Phillies in the NL East. But Michelle Castellanos, Nick Castellanos' mom, is in on the Phillies winning the World Series. I don't know what that means, but I figured I'd mention it because it's Castellanos, and why not? I thought that was cool to see. It's the offseason, so I thought that was nice. Nice to see somebody believes in the Phillies, because I know a lot of us fans right now, it's tough to believe in this team after another playoff disappointment. So, nice to see a mother of a member of Philadelphia Phillies feels good about her son's team. So, that's about it. So, next thing. Hall of Fame ballot tracker update with the four former Philadelphia Phillies that are on this year's ballot. So first up, and thank you to Ryan Thibodeau, who does the Baseball Hall of Fame ballot tracker with what he has. And right now, it is 97 public ballots, plus there are 6 that are anonymous/unverifiable ballots. And so he says right now that percentage of ballots known, 26.5%. So that's what we have from Ryan Thibodeau And right now, Billy Wagner, who was extremely close to getting in last year, and he's on his final year on the ballot this year, 85.4%. That's where he is on the Hall of Fame ballot right now, according to the tracker. Chase Utley, doing really well right now, according to, and I don't mean well like he's going to get in, but for his second year, I mean, according to these 100 public ballots that we have right now, again, only a fourth of ballots that we have right now, according to Ryan Thibodeau, but Chase Utley's at 50.5%. That's really good. That's a step up from last year. Again, there's still some time here to go, but I think it's great to see that. I think Chase could be, I'd go back and forth on Chase, but he's borderline, and that's a good look for Chase, 50.5%. Bobby Abreu, 23.3%, not moving a whole lot. Jimmy Rollins, he's at 22.3%. So J-Roll, moving up a little bit from his, what was it, 14.2% last year, wasn't it? Pretty sure it was. Trying to look right here. Well, let's see, is 2024. Yeah, it's right here. I know where it was. 2024 actual. What was it, 12.9%? Okay, so I'm close. So J-Roll moving up a little bit, if that's what it ends up being. But again, this is all like, there's only a certain amount of ballots that we know about right now. And this is only according to Thibodeau's tracker, but his tracker's great. It's been highly regarded, you know, since he's, you know, been working on it the last however long. So that is where the former Phillies stand right now on the ballot tracker. One more time before we get to the next topic. Wagner at 85.4%, Chase Utley 50.5%, Bobby Abreu 23.3%, and Jimmy Rollins 22.3%, according to the ballot tracker. Okay, like I had mentioned and teased at the beginning of the show, things to look ahead to in 2025. I have five storylines to look ahead to for the Philadelphia Phillies. And some of these might be obvious, and some of these maybe you're not, you know, thinking about at the necessarily the forefront of your mind, because maybe in the grand scheme of things, they don't mean a whole lot. But I do think that these five storylines, I think they do mean a ton, honestly. Well, a few of these, maybe not a ton, but like a pretty good amount. And I'll tell you why as we go along here. So storylines to look ahead to this entirety of 2025. The first one, in general, will the Phillies make any other moves this offseason? I don't think that they will. I mean, the biggest one that we have left, just because Dave Dombrowski has come out and said that they're, you know, after the Max Kepler deal, which, you know, depending on if Kepler is able to stay healthy and maybe could be what he was a couple of years ago, maybe he could provide impact in the outfield. But will the Phillies make any other moves this offseason? Like, because there looks like they're done making any impact deals offensively. But the big one is, will they re-sign Jeff Hoffman? And if not, will they add another reliever? Because, you know, last year at the back end, you had, you know, at least to end the year, it was Estevez, it was Hoffman, it was, you know, Kirkering, Alvarado, guys that are already on the roster here. But they did sign Jordan Romano, and, you know, Romano is a wild card. Like, I mean, I think if he stays healthy, maybe he can get back to what he was, but, you know, injuries really hindered him last year. But, you know, prior to that, he'd been one of the more consistent, you know, high leverage slash, you know, reliever slash closers in baseball for Toronto. So, but I figured the Phillies would still feel a little more comfortable if they had gone out and, you know, re-signed Jeff Hoffman, which there's obviously still time to do, or, you know, maybe sign a Tanner Scott or any other relievers that are still out there. Like, will the Phillies still go out and, you know, re-sign Hoffman or sign another reliever? Because I think that's still important. I mean, unless they expect Orion Kirkering to really, you know, take a step up, and maybe he even becomes the closer. Maybe he can. I mean, Kirkering, some blips last year, but overall, pretty good numbers. 2.29 ERA. I mean, like, Kirkering was really good last year. So, you know, in his first full year in the majors. So that's my first storyline to look ahead to, and it's kind of one that's, you know, more in the forefront right now, which we're still in the hot stove, still in the offseason here in early January in 2025. So will the Phillies make any other moves this offseason? And more specifically, looking at the back end of the bullpen. I mean, Jeff Hoffman's been one of the better relievers in baseball the last couple of years. So what are the Phillies going to do there? It's still, you know, it's still there. Jeff Hoffman, who could it be? So or do they not? And do you feel comfortable with that? I would love to know your thoughts there. You can tweet me at @Rojas_media_ on X. Okay, second one. And I think this is something that we're all excited about heading into this season, especially because we weren't able to see him the last couple of years because of Tommy John surgery, is Andrew Painter. The excitement of seeing, you know, somebody that was going to come up at 20 years old and potentially be a part of a major league rotation, you know, being, well, he was the top pitching prospect at the time, Andrew Painter. How will the Phillies use Andrew Painter this season? You know, Dave Dombrowski recently did a Zoom call press conference and mentioned that Painter will not pitch in spring training games. The plan is to probably most likely call him up, you know, later, early in the summer, more like July. I guess it's not even early in the summer, right? It's like midsummer, right? July or August is to kind of have him build up the workload through the minors as, you know, they get closer to like, you know, July, August, around there. I think he mentioned like June at the earliest. And that's what the plan seems like it's going to be. But that's a storyline to watch because, I mean, obviously we're all super excited about somebody that's supposed to be, you know, a future cornerstone for this franchise. So Andrew Painter is obviously a huge, I think, you know, maybe not the biggest storyline, but just in the, just in general about the future of the Phillies, you know, and we're talking about like, you know, next like 5 to 10 years, potentially, if everything works out. Andrew Painter, we could see him, you know, on a major league mound this season. So how will the Phillies use Andrew Painter? When will he be called up? Will he be used out of the bullpen late? Maybe they're not even that worried about re-signing a Hoffman because maybe they think Painter can come out of the bullpen later in the year and kind of be somebody for that. That could potentially be that, but I don't. We'll see. So how will the Phillies use Andrew Painter as a second storyline? Third one. Ranger Suarez is a very interesting one. I think there are a couple of storylines around him because he is on the final year of his deal, right? Will the Phillies trade him? And if they don't trade him like during the offseason, do they trade him at the deadline and try to get maybe a piece to help the offense, the bullpen? Maybe even prospects. I would doubt that, but like, I mean, maybe depending on the type of year Lizardo has, maybe they consider trading him for, you know, farm system pieces in younger players, or maybe a bat that could help off the bench or something like that. I'm not sure, but, you know, Ranger coming off of, I mean, he had like, no joke, a Cy Young level type of first half of the season. And then the second half dealt with the injuries and was not the same guy. Ranger Suarez is, he's going to be a unrestricted free agent, you know, after this season. What do the Phillies decide to do with Ranger Suarez? What do they decide to do with him? Or just in general, like, what do we expect from him this year? Like, I mean, I'm expecting him to be, you know, what he was. I'm not expecting him to go return to Cy Young form. I'm not expecting him to be what he was in the first half of last year. I mean, I'd be okay, especially him being like the 4 or 5 in this rotation. I'm okay with him being 2022 Ranger Suarez, where you got, you know, almost 30 starts from an ERA, you know, around 3.5, and, you know, giving you 150 plus innings of work, like, I'm cool with that. I'd be cool with that. I know Ranger had the start to the season that he had last year, but what are we expecting from Ranger Suarez? Will they trade him? Will they move him? Like, I think Ranger's going to be an interesting storyline to watch this year. Fourth, can Bryson Stott bounce back at the plate? Bryson's an interesting one now. I think he was an interesting one even before this news came out about, what, almost a month ago now, that he was dealing with a sore elbow for most of the season, and that's why he was, you know, he wasn't as good, you know, on the fastball in 2024, like, compared to 2023, when he, you know, was much better, had, you know, hit almost, you know, hit 280 and had an OPS of 747, which isn't, like, amazing, but, like, which was more productive, you know, 30-plus doubles, was much better than he was in 2024, where he hit 245 and had an 89 OPS plus and had less than 20 doubles. You know, like, Bryson Stott wasn't the same guy in 2024, and they need him to get back to the 2023 version. Because also, I think, you know, him having the ability to, you know, make, you know, being a contact hitter, which is what he was supposed to be and what he was in 2023, I think helps add variety to this offense. And I think last year he didn't do that. He didn't, he was, you know, non-existent, was never really, could never get it going, and was just below average all year long. And thank God he's, you know, a good defensive second baseman. And, you know, he was a 4.5 WAR player. Almost a 4.5 WAR player in 2023. It was 2.5 last year, which isn't, like, horrible. It's not bad. Like, 3-4 WAR is an all-star type of player in some instances, but 2.5 WAR last year in 2024, and a 4-plus WAR player in 2023. I would like to see Bryson Stott get back to, you know, that what he was in 23. I'm not asking him to break out and be a breakout player. We're just asking him to bounce back, and it seems like he's an obvious bounce back candidate. A lot of people are talking about it now, especially with the news that has come out about him dealing with that sore elbow last year. But can Bryson Stott specifically bounce back at the plate? Was still a good defender last year, but can he bounce back at the plate, I think, is a big question going into 2025, is his ability to come back and be a, you know, a somewhat productive hitter, you know, from that, as a hitter. So that is definitely a question that people are talking about now, especially with the news of his injury. Okay, last one, and it's the obvious one. And we're looking towards, like, October, and we're looking 10 months from now, literally. But we started at the beginning of this talking about, will the Phillies make any more moves this offseason, talking about where we're at right now, the forefront still in the hot stove in the offseason. And now we're going to end this topic on the complete opposite side, October, almost even November of 2025. Will the lineup figure it out in the postseason? Obviously, they went cold against Arizona in 2023 and against the Mets in 2024. Will they find a way to figure it out? Because it seems like the core guys, whether it being not mainly Bryce, but like the Turners, the Schwarbers, the Castellanoses, even though Castellanos, you know, was probably one of their best hitters in that series against New York. Boom. And I'm talking about this specifically, like the Bohms, the Turners, the Schwarbers, the Castellanoses, the JTs, like the core of this lineup, you know, big piece of the core lineup. Are they going to figure out a way to not all go cold at the same time? Because it seems like when one or two guys go cold, like the Turner and the Bohm or whoever it might be, it seems like they all follow suit. It seems like they just all follow suit. So will they figure it out? Because that's the biggest reason why they have lost in the postseason the last 2 years. No, it wasn't because of the bullpen. I'm not saying the bullpen didn't contribute at all. I'm not saying Craig Kimbrell didn't contribute at all in 2023, and that Jeff Hoffman, you know, not having a good postseason in that series against New York didn't contribute to it, but we all know the number one reason was because of the bats. It was the number one reason. And will they figure it out? Bryson Stott bouncing back, that could help. That could definitely help things. Maybe Max Kepler being healthy and being the hitter that he was for Minnesota, you know, a couple of years ago. I'm not asking you to be the Max Kepler of 2019 where you slugged 36 home runs. And I think that was the year that the Twins like either set or tied the all-time mark for home runs in the season by a team. Not asking for the 36 homer, 123 OPS plus Max Kepler that got down ballot MVP votes in 2019. I'm asking for, I think we would all like the 3-WAR, 24 homer, 120 OPS plus Max Kepler that the Twins got in 2023. That's what we'd be asking for. That could definitely help, especially someone like Brandon Marsh, who I was hoping Marsh would break out this past year. Don't feel awesome about Brandon Marsh, to be honest with you. Feel good about him as a defender, but at the plate against lefties, it's really bad. And maybe it's just because I had the expectations for Marsh. Now I'm feeling down about him. I feel like he's let, you know, me and some of the other fans down. Maybe that's a thing. But this lineup, they have to figure it out in the postseason. They got to figure it out. That's the number one thing. Not that anything else is a guaranteed, but the pitching hasn't been the problem. The rotation hasn't been the problem. Those have not been the problem. The lineup has been the problem in the postseason. So that is what the problem has been. Real quick, around MLB before we get out of here. Nolan Arenado looks like he prefers potentially going to the Red Sox. Chris Castillo and Sean McAdam of MassLive.com reported that the Red Sox are a preferred destination for Nolan Arenado. If not, the preferred destination, according to MLB.com, this offseason, he had rejected, or he rejected his no trade clause, I guess that's how you would put it, to go to the Astros. And could Arenado go to the Red Sox? Maybe that's a destination for him, but that means Rafael Devers would probably have to move to first or DH. So it will be interesting. And maybe, yeah. So Blue Jays have made an offer to Anthony Santander with 44 bombs last year. Ari Alexander of KPRC2. Reports that the Blue Jays have extended an offer to Santander. That's according to MLB.com as well. Charlie Morton, he signed a one-year contract with the Orioles, no longer in the NL East with the Braves. He is now a Baltimore Oriole. So those are some things around MLB that you need to know. And that is going to do it for today's episode of Phillies Today. Appreciate all of you tuning in. Let me know about all these storylines that I kind of laid out to look ahead to in 2025. What are you looking forward to? What is something that maybe I mentioned here that didn't mention? I mean, there's obviously other things they could talk about. Ryan Kirkering, and I kind of did mention that, like breakout season this year can be the closer. Not even breakout season, because I thought he had a great season last year, but could it be the closer? Alec Boehm. I mean, Alec Boehm is a big one to watch too. Alec Boehm, you know, responding to the trade rumors, could he have his best year? What Dombrowski and Topper are saying. So let me know of these storylines. What are you excited about? What are you interested in? What are some ones that I did not mention? So that's going to do it for me, Philly Francisco Rojas and Phillies Today. You can follow me on Twitter / X @Rojas_media_, and I'll talk to you guys soon.